to monitor those that do need regular and even permanent painkillers. We discuss closely, or we certainly should be discussing closely, the potential side effects, but we should also be doing regular monitoring checks that involve examination and also blood testing to make sure that we are keeping things as safe as possible. And the reality is also that the people who put in place changes to their dog's environment, to their weight, to their diet, they add in supplements, they modify the amount of exercise and the type of exercise that their pet is doing, those animals will have less of a reliance on anti-inflammatory painkilling medication.
Welcome to the Call the Vet Show, the podcast that helps pet parents understand and optimize the health of their furry family so they can live the full and happy life you want for them. And here's your host, veterinarian Dr. Alex Avery.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of the Call the Vet Show. I'm veterinarian Dr. Alex. I'm your host in these parts, and I started this podcast to try and bring pet parents the information that they need to really understand and so optimize the health, the well-being, and ultimately the lifespan of their pet. So if that sounds like something that you're interested in, make sure you hit that subscribe button. And I'm really excited for you to be joining us all in this journey. Before I get into today's episode, I wanted to thank everybody who sent me messages about the last episode, Not One More Vet, the fantastic interview with Dr. Brian Borquin, where we dive deep into the mental health issues in the veterinary profession as a whole, not just vets, but technicians, reception staff, and anyone involved in this industry where the suicide rate is just too high. I had a great response from people within the profession who listen, but also pet owners just like you out there. So really grateful for those positive words of encouragement, the positive feedback, that the stories that you've had of how your vet has made a difference. Of course, there were some trolls there. I had on the YouTube video a really lovely comment: "Most vets I know are evil," was what the comment was. But it just goes to show the trolls that are out there. And unfortunately, you need to develop a rather thick skin to be in the profession as a whole, but also if you're putting stuff out there online. So I think that really is actually something to consider when you look at how many, or I should really say how few, vets that are out there on the social platforms trying to give you that information. You know, they really do have to develop a hugely thick skin and do battle against some pretty nasty sentiment out there, which clearly is the very much minority of people. But, you know, words can hurt. And the person who wrote that on that video has been blocked, because I've got no time for that kind of sentiment and it's not worth engaging. And I guess today I want to talk about a topic that is somewhat related, in the sense that a lot of what you read about online when it comes to pet health goes under the term holistic. There's a big holistic crowd out there that really is very anti-conventional therapy, or they feel it has its place when things have really got bad. But actually, in the well-being, the general care of your pet, the management of some of the most common conditions that they suffer from, really we need to be looking at supplements, herbs, diet, exercise, lifestyle changes. And there is absolutely no place for pharmaceuticals, for conventional veterinary medicine, if you will. And so that's really what I want to be really discussing with you today. And I'd love to hear your feedback on this, because I think it's a hugely important topic that maybe a lot of conventional vets don't think about, but also the messages that are being relayed on. And unfortunately, I have to go back to social media all the time, because that's really where we are getting most of our information about everything. You know, if my car seems to have a little bit of a fault, then I'll jump online, I'll do a Google search, and invariably that will go to some blog or some Facebook post or some Reddit forum, and that's where I will try and get some information. Now, we've got to take everything with a pinch of salt, but the reality is that a lot of what we're reading, a lot of what we're taking as fact, comes from these sources that, you know, may actually have very little experience themselves, may have very little knowledge themselves. So with that as the intro, let's jump in with the show.
And now, on with the show.
And really, what raised this topic or why I'm thinking about it now is that I'm actually going to be hosting a dog allergy summit in July next year. And we're putting some topics together behind the scenes. We're inviting some really fantastic speakers to come and talk about what is one of the most common problems in our pet dog population, and a problem that can cause a lot of misery to our dogs, but also frustration and headaches to both pet parent and vet alike. So I'm really excited to be diving into that in more detail. But when we were kind of having discussions behind the scenes about some of the topics, one thing that was brought up was the topic of pharmaceuticals, discussing drugs. The thought was that some of the audience really that are going to be joining this have been members of other summits in the past, and those are still being put together as well. But the real focus is on how we can keep our pets healthy, how we can prevent disease, and how we cannot use medicated products. So there was a query about how well some of the topics that are planned would go across, and would it alienate them? Would it really turn them off to any of the messages that we are trying to put forward to ultimately improve the well-being of these dogs that suffer from this very common condition? And my reply to this was that in the very beginning, I discussed with them that there's this holistic crowd that's hijacked that term and used it to mean that all pharmaceuticals are bad for pretty much every reason. They only result in dangerous side effects, and because of this, they're to be avoided at all costs, because there are some valid and equally effective supplements, diets, lifestyle changes that can be made. So really, those pharmaceuticals have no role to play in the management of any disease, and if anything, they're just going to do more harm than good. So that was the thinking behind, and that's really the thinking behind everything that I do, is that I'm a conventional vet. I will absolutely hold my hands up to that, but I also think that I am a holistic vet, because you'll have heard in the past when we're talking about arthritis, for example, we talk about lifestyle changes, we talk about weight management, diet, all kinds of different things, supplements, exercise management, and really the pharmaceutical treatment of arthritis is one of only seven different treatment groups, if you like, that we employ. But I think to hold off with, for example, painkillers when they're needed is actually to do an arthritic patient a real disservice, and not using all of the tools in our arsenal. And another way of putting it is, if you have got a headache yourself, then chances are you'll take a painkiller. That could be ibuprofen, paracetamol, acetaminophen, aspirin, just to help you cope with that headache. Yes, you are then going to put in steps to prevent those in the future if you can identify what the likely cause is. And there are some really common causes. You might want to drink more water or less alcohol. You might want to try and limit your screen time. You might want to wear blue light filtering glasses. Whatever it is, if you can highlight, if you can identify what that cause is, you're then going to put steps in place to limit the effects of those, so that you're not reliant on just taking painkillers to treat the headaches that you're getting. But to deny the usefulness of that ibuprofen, paracetamol, aspirin in the instance when you have that headache is to deny yourself a very effective and ultimately safe treatment option when needed. So going back to our example of arthritis in dogs, to monitor those that do need regular and even permanent painkillers, we discuss closely, or we certainly should be discussing closely, the potential side effects, but we should also be doing regular monitoring checks that involve examination and also blood testing to make sure that we are keeping things as safe as possible. And the reality is also that the people who put in place changes to their dog's environment, to their weight, to their diet, they add in supplements, they modify the amount of exercise and the type of exercise that their pet is doing, those animals will have less of a reliance on anti-inflammatory painkilling medication, at least in the earlier stages of their disease, and they're going to live more comfortable and longer lives as a result. And it's the same exact situation with allergic disease in dogs. So we can take lots of different steps with diets, with supplements, with environmental management, with shampoos, with other topical agents. But If a dog, for example, has a secondary deep skin or ear infection, then they're going to need antibiotics. They're likely to need anti-inflammatories just to reset the system. If they have an anaphylactic reaction, then they're going to need adrenaline, steroids, antihistamines. If they have serious environmental allergies, then they may still need long-term or intermittent pharmaceutical intervention. So in the bad old days, that used to be steroids, high doses of steroids for long-term treatment of allergic skin disease. It helps massively with the itch and keeping everything settled down, but it has huge long-term implications. Thankfully, now we have other drugs at our disposal. So we have Cytopoint, we have Apoquel, which are much more targeted treatments, do a much better job or do as good a job as steroids without nearly the range of potential side effects. They're very, very safe products. And hopefully for those pet parents who are willing to put in the work to make all of these other changes, it's likely that they're only going to be needed at the beginning of their disease while all of the other interventions are kicking in. And sometimes, certainly with supplements, that can take 2-3 months even more to have the full effect that we want for them. It may be that they only need those medications at certain times of year when the pollen levels are super high, but at other times all the other interventions just keep everything to a manageable level. So in my mind, really, there's far too much fear-mongering about pharmaceuticals in general, online, in forums, and it's often from people, unfortunately, who are trying to sell their supplements or diets, when the reality is that when they're used appropriately, when the proper monitoring is put in place, when they are used in conjunction with all of these other things that we can do for a great many other conditions, they are very, very safe and they work very well. I never want to say there's no risks of side effects with any medication because that would be completely untrue. But in the vast majority of cases, those risks are greatly overstated. Sure, for the individuals where they happen, really, that is a tragic situation. But we don't want to oversell that. We don't want to overemphasize the risk. And we don't want to deny the fact that pharmaceuticals can play a very valuable role as long as they're used appropriately. And then another thing that I wanted to raise is that actually a lot of the time people don't make the changes that we recommend. They don't change their diets. They don't change exercise management. They don't add in supplements. They don't do all kinds of different things that are recommended because it takes work. It takes time. It doesn't necessarily take money. Some of the interventions and some of the changes do need money to be spent, but a lot of them, it's more time and effort that needs to be spent. And unfortunately, a lot of us lead very busy lives, and I'm not criticizing people for not making those changes, but it does mean that actually pharmaceuticals are the easy option, if you like, and they work very well. So a lot of the time I think people are relying on them to make a huge difference, and they do, but they're not making those other changes. And then they may also be skimping on the monitoring that's recommended. So have they had blood tests done every 3 to 6 months or whatever's been recommended by their vet? How are they having regular checkups to make sure that there's no other problems developing? And a lot of the time, certainly in my experience in clinic, that's the case, that they're not necessarily following all of those recommendations.
Helping your pet live the happy, healthy life they deserve.
So as you can tell, this is a topic that I feel pretty strongly about, and apologies if that came across as a little bit of a rant, but I think it's a really important topic for everyone to think about, for everyone to consider, and everyone to have in the back of their mind when they are jumping online to research whatever problem, issue, concern, or advice they're looking for online, but also in the flesh when you're talking to people at the dog park, at the agility group or the training classes that you go to. You know, the same rules all apply. And really, the work that I do in my clinic, in my clinical work, I'm a vet in general practice, so I'm very much practicing what I preach, but also in all of my online work, you know, I'm all about preventing disease as much as possible and using all of the tools that are in our toolkit to be able to do that, but also to treat diseases as effectively as possible at the same time, and to completely deny the benefit of certain interventions would be doing my patients a disservice. And really, I do believe in taking an evidence-based approach, and as a result of that, using all of the options available to us, especially those that have proven to be beneficial. And certainly some of the supplements, some of the changes, some of the interventions that are recommended by self-styled holistic gurus really don't have any evidence to support their use. So as always, I'd love to continue this conversation with you. Let me know what you think. The best place is to find me on Instagram, where I'm at Our Pets Health. Send me a DM, comment on any of the posts. I'm also on Facebook and Twitter. I'm on YouTube as well. If you want to leave a nicer comment than the one I spoke about at the very beginning of this episode, I'd really love to hear from you and hear your thoughts on this potentially controversial, potentially polarizing topic. All that's left for me to say is be sure to follow this podcast, hit that subscribe button if you're not already. I've got some fantastic interviews coming up. Next episode is all about a weight loss journey of one rather portly pug that you don't want to miss out on. It was a fantastic conversation. Be sure to share this episode with your friends and family who you feel will get benefit from the topics that I'm talking about. And until next time, I'm veterinarian Dr. Alex. This is the Call the Vet Show. Because they're family.
That's it for this episode of the Call the Vet Show. Be sure to visit callthevet.org to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our fantastic bonus content. We'll see you next time.